I had no idea why Ralph and I were friends. I was a B-plus student, a model citizen. Ralph already had a criminal record, a string of shoplifting charges all along Chicago's southwest side. He kept mugshots of himself in his wallet. The first time I met Ralph, he had walked up to me and asked if he could bum a smoke. That was 4 years ago. I was 9. I didn't smoke, but I didn't tell Ralph that. I said, sorry, smoke the last one at recess.
John McNally reading an excerpt from his debut novel, The Book of Ralph, a fiction. The Book of Ralph takes place in 1978 and chronicles the friendship between two eighth-grade students, Hank, a good boy, and Ralph, a not-so-good boy. When John McNally was in junior high, he was drawn to the Ralphs at school. McNally told Steve Paulson about one of the three kids who served as models for the character of Ralph.
He just lived in the same apartment as me, but his mother told me that he went to the special school, and I wasn't sure what that meant. He was the sort of kid who liked to find disparate things in dumpsters, like a fan and a radio, and try to figure out how to wire them together. But one time, he led me into what he told me was an abandoned house, which years later I realized probably wasn't abandoned. The people were probably just away on vacation. And he wanted me to help him carry things out to his radio flyer wagon, so which was tied to the sissy bar of his three-speed bike. So he was one character that I had in mind when the very first chapter that I wrote in this was Smoke, and I wrote it as a short story a while back. And that's where Ralph leads Hank into a house of somebody who's recently departed.
Hmm. So you were an accomplice to a robbery when you were quite young, but you didn't even realize it was a robbery.
Right. I was in third grade, and I think I suppressed the memory until I was in college and began thinking about it again. I thought, you know, those people were probably just on vacation because everything was intact. There was another kid I went to school with who had failed two grades, and he was a kid who sort of physically I modeled Ralph after. He was a kid who had a reputation for being violent, but actually, you know, I was friends with him for a short time, and he was actually not a bad kid. I think he had this sort of defense mechanism so that he would portray himself as being, I think, a meaner kid than he actually was. And then there was another kid that I was friends with for a short time who would do things like sort of these ridiculous little scams where he would steal a bicycle tire and then sell it to a cousin who lived in another town for, you know, for 50 cents, who would then sell it at a flea market for a dollar or something like that. So,
now, were you involved in any scams like that yourself?
Not with any of those kids, you know, but I was always trying to figure out ways to make money. So I would do my own little scams, you know, like what I used to buy a lot of albums, and I would tape them on like an 8-track tape and peel the label off and tell friends that I had cousins who worked at Columbia House in Indiana, and that I could get whatever they wanted for a discount price. So, and then I would be trying to sell these things. But of course, they were horribly taped. They sounded terrible. And if you remember 8-tracks, the song sometimes it would click in the middle of the song to a different track.
Now, I remember kids like Ralph, and they were kind of scary, for one thing. I mean, if you weren't friends with them, you know, you wanted to stay clear of them because you didn't know what they would do.
Right.
But they were also attractive. I mean, if they could be friends with you, that would be terrific. I mean, for one thing, you'd feel safer.
Right. Right. Well, they were larger than life in a lot of ways. I mean, they embodied, I think, a lot of what you wanted. I mean, I was the sort of kid. I was, you know, I was probably like, you know, most kids. I was picked on a lot. But if you were with somebody like Ralph, you wouldn't be picked on. I mean, there was a sort of protective shield around you, and so that was part of the attraction. But also, you know, I think it was that they seemed to be living these more exciting lives than what you were living. And like Hank in the book, I mean, I would always reach a point where I would realize that, you know, it was exciting hanging out with them, but that I was probably headed for jail or something.
Now, one thing that's always mysterious is why two people are drawn together, you know, why people become friends. And in this case, mm-hmm. Hank, kind of the good kid, the good student, and Ralph, the delinquent. You can see why Hank would be drawn to Ralph. Ralph is exciting. He's mm-hmm. also a kind of a protector. But why would Ralph want to be friends with Hank?
Well, I think that both characters are actually loners. And although you don't think of the tough guy as a loner, I think by virtue of his, you know, who he is, the sort of scary persona that he portrays, it tends to isolate a lot of people. And certainly with the kids I knew in grade school, they were basically these sort of lone guns on the playground. And they would kind of carefully pick and choose who to hang out with. And, you know, they never really hung out with each other, you know. So that seemed to be kind of, I think, just the kind of a self-definition of being the lone gun. You're not going to hook up with another lone gun. And with Hank, I mean, Hank, even though he seems like a normal, well-assimilated kid, I don't mention any other friends throughout the Book of Ralph that he has. He may refer occasionally to another friend, but he's actually kind of a bookworm too. And so he's a loner, and I think that, you know, they each kind of fulfill what they're looking for by hooking up together.
One thing that Ralph has near the beginning of the book is he comes up with a list. He's out to make some money, and so he has this violence for hire scheme, and for $2 he'll punch out some guy for you.
Right.
For $4 he'll blacken both eyes, and then for $15 he'll chew off an ear.
Right.
And you know, it's horrible to think about that kind of thing, but the way you write about it, it's almost kind of funny.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of the fun for writing this book was figuring out, I think, how to bring the humor into the book. Somebody like Ralph, and what attracts me about a character like Ralph and to write about Ralph is that he's a much smarter and more entrepreneurial kid than all of the adults give him credit for and most of his classmates give him credit for it. And that's what I think Hank is – another thing that Hank is drawn to. Hank does see these sorts of sides of Ralph that he's constantly surprised by. And like with that list, for example, what surprises Hank isn't so much that Ralph is going to charge people to chew off somebody's ear. It's that he found the book in a library and that he knows something about history, since the book is based on a price list from a New York gang in the 1800s. The violence just seems to be taken for granted, I think, on Hank's part. And I think it's putting those sorts of disparate things together that hopefully brings humor to the piece.
And Ralph is kind of a dithering thug. He may have the list, but he doesn't actually want to go out and do any of this stuff.
Right. He's always looking for excuses not to do it. You know, he's at one point he says when Hank is getting impatient, Hank wants to see this. Hank keeps thinking, you know, is he ever going to bite off Rourke Pyle's ear? And, you know, at one point Ralph says, well, you know, I want to make sure that I'm doing it for the right reasons. You know, what if somebody had hired me to bite off your mother's ear? And so Ralph is constantly, I think, circling around it, trying to figure out a way to get out of it. So, I mean, he's attracted more to the idea of it, and also I think the fear that it instills in his classmates. But in the end, he's not really a violent person.
How do you conjure up the voice of these eighth grade boys? I mean, what are you drawing on here?
I think for years I tried to write about where I grew up, and I couldn't do it because I would focus. I grew up in a lower middle class suburb of Chicago, and, you know, I think just naturally I was drawn towards the sort of maudlin or the sentimental. And eventually when I began writing the first story, which eventually I wrote three stories and then I turned it into a book later, you know, I think it was really trying to capture the voice of the character with some kind of subtext to who these people were, instead of focusing on say, you know, where they're from or their class or their kind of hardscrabble existence. It was really trying to capture the sorts of things that interested me as a kid. I certainly wasn't conscious of, I mean, there are things that I wanted that I couldn't afford, but I wasn't really conscious that, you know, that things were really that tough for my parents, for example. What I thought about, you know, were things like Evel Knievel and Planet of the Apes. I mean, you know, those were the sorts of obsessions I would have. And I think sort of getting into that mindset. So in a lot of ways, it's, you know, I think of writing as a form of method acting. And certainly the more chapters I wrote of this book, the more the characters just sort of wrote themselves.
So when you were writing this, it sounds like you were drawing on a lot of your own memories. Did you find your own past, your own adolescence kind of come pouring back to you?
Yeah, I mean, there were a number of things that I'd forgotten about, and that was a lot of the fun of the book for me, which was thinking about specifically places, thinking about different things that I may have done but had forgotten about. There's the whole chapter of Hank talking to truckers. He's using the CB in his mother's car. I mean, that was a period in my life when CBs were huge, and My parents had a CB hooked up inside their Maverick, little Maverick outside this apartment building that we lived in. I would sit out there for hours, you know, just annoying truckers or getting on and, or, you know, trying to, you know, I was in sixth grade, but I would be trying to, I would never follow through, but I would try to, you know, get a date with a high school girl so that we would meet up someplace, but then I would never actually show up. You know, it was just this, I was, you know, just an awkward sixth grader trying to see if I could do these sorts of things, you know, but it was something I hadn't really thought about in years. And so going back to that and trying to get into the mindset of that and really thinking about, you know, what did I do during that time and how did I pass my days helped to give it, I think, a sort of ambiance in the book.
John McNally's the author of The Book of Ralph, a fiction. He spoke with Steve Paulson.